You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff. This
can you dig it?
The year is 2040. The war hadn't been friendly to anyone. Those who survived wished they had been caught in the rain of bombs that had fallen 10 years ago. The dead were indeed the lucky ones. America, or more accurately, the land that used to be the United States of America, was now an irradiated wasteland, the population decimated, any trace of governance eradicated. It had been a dusty day, like every other, the sick yellow sky, thick with decay. Only the whistling of the wind to be heard. Any sound would carry in the emptiness. Just then, the creaking of a hatch cut the silence with the sharpness of the executioner's axe. A lone figure rose from his shelter, taking care not to slip on the last rungs of his ladder. He seemed to rise from the ground like a pop star from the days before the final war. He remembered those days from time to time, but today was not for reminiscing. He had work to do. The man shouldered his pack, stretched, took a swig from a rusty metal bottle, and sighed. The lines on his face crinkled as his rough hands gently wiped the droplets from his graying, scraggly beard. He was ready to get to work. He had several miles ahead of him, and it was no easy route. The bomb crater dunes rolled out before him like an unmade bedsheet, but there was a job to be done. After several hours of hiking, his feet were sore and beginning to blister, but he had found the spot. An old, bombed-out apartment building. The door was falling off its hinges, so he had to push hard to gain entrance, the debris of the crumbling walls desperately demanding their toll. Nevertheless, he was committed. He gained entrance to the apartment on the first floor, a place that reminded him of the merriment of days long past, now lay empty, closer to a tomb than a living space. He made his way to a table in one of the rooms. It stood solemn as a gravestone. Alas, his friends were long dead, and no one would be coming to fill the chairs scattered about the table. He shrugged off his pack as he took a seat, his tattered shirt revealing just the slightest hint of the faded ink pigments on his back. He reached into his bag and wrapped his hand around the cold metal. He pulled his arm out, raised the microphone to his lips, and said,
"Hello and welcome to Triviality, the game where lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge. Thank you to all the survivors of the apocalypse." I'm here with Ken, Jeff, and Matt. How are you?
Oh, it was Neil all along.
Oh, that's
better
great.
Than I knew, apparently.
I know. I'm like a cockroach. I just never die.
I wasn't expecting such tumult to start the show.
It's the Halloween episode, so, you know, got to put in an effort from time to time.
And what number Halloween episode is this?
This is Trick or Triviality 7.
Seven.
Seed of Neil.
The Seed of Neil. Once it gets inside of you, all bets are off. It's like Jason.
No explanation needed.
That's fine. Horror people know what I'm talking about.
Chucky. Seed of Chucky.
Oh, I see. You're doing the Seed of Chucky. I was thought you were doing Jason, where it's the little weird creature that goes in your body and turns you into Jason. Well, we have a great episode for you today, Matt. How are you after all of that?
Me? I'm doing great. No seeds over here. I'm allergic.
Oh, that's okay. I know you have an allergy, but we'll do our best to make you feel good today. But we have a very special Halloween episode for you today, as we normally do. We are excited to welcome back now a three-time host of the Trick or Triviality Halloween episode, Savage Superstar from Chicago, our friend Justin Shady. How are you, Justin?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing great.
Great.
So after hearing that that long intro and all the history of the world, how do you feel about it?
I think first of all, I think every episode should start off with something like that because it was wonderful. And I'm feeling, you know, I'm ready to get down to business, even though things are dire. You know, I also want to say, I know I've done this 3 years in a row, but I think it's funny because a friend of mine, when I told him I was doing another one this year, they were like, you're going to get like typecast as the dark Halloween guy, which is funny because if you know me, I'm not at all. I'm actually more known for like comedy stuff, but I do love Halloween. So it's ironic that I do this every year, but we love Halloween.
It's a pretty large Venn diagram that overlaps, you know, comedy people and Halloween people.
Correct. Yeah, for sure. And my wife and I, we got married on October 30th. So we had a Halloween wedding. I think maybe I said that in the past, but like, that's mainly like the driving force behind our love of the season. So,
well, we're excited to have you back. What do we want the teams to be today?
Neil, I will be taking Matt. And since the Halloween episodes are getting a little long in the tooth, it's number 7. So we'll be the Poltergeisers.
The Poltergeisers, I like it. It makes sense with the clown doll that's in the corner. Jeff and I, we love a good satanic baby story, so we're going to be Rosemary's Baby's Monitor. All right, well, let's hit the rules real quick. Let's see Darren's best Vincent Price impression, and we'll hear what the game is all about.
The rules of the game are simple. 20 questions split into two rounds worth 10 points apiece. At halftime, there'll be a special swing round designed by this week's host. After regulation, players will enter the final round with the points that they've accumulated and will have a chance to wager 0 to 30 points on 5 categorized questions. At the end of the game, someone will be named the cream of the crop.
Cream of the crop.
Blah.
Blah. Oh, thank you, Darren. That was scary. Justin, feel free to take it away. We're ready to play.
Awesome. All right. Round 1, question 1. Ruthless people. On November 13th, 2022, 4 University of Idaho college students were murdered in an apartment near campus. A month later, 28-year-old Brian Koberger was arrested as a suspect. With his trial set to start this month, your question is, what is the last name of the Idaho judge who is overseeing the trial? And I'll give you a hint. The judge's last name is the same as the nickname of an actor who starred in numerous 80s movies, including Stripes, Gremlins, and all 3 Beverly Hills Cops.
All right. And you said it's a nickname?
Correct. But I will say this. It's a nickname, but people may think that his nickname is actually his first name.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know. We can lock in.
So I'm thinking on the movie Stripes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the cast of that.
Bill Murray.
The movie Gremlins probably wouldn't be good. Yeah.
Bill Murray's not in Gremlins.
What was the third movie that you mentioned?
All three Beverly Hills Cops.
Yeah, all 3 Beverly Hills Cops.
I don't know who's in those besides Eddie Murphy.
I don't know.
Bobcat Goldthwait. Goldthwait.
Is that his nickname? Are we going Bobcat?
No, I think his real name's Bobcat, but...
All right. Well, when you said the clues, thankfully, the hints, a person that starred in Gremlins, all 3 Beverly Hills Cops, and I forget the other one, but I believe it's Judge Reinhold.
Jay Reinhold.
Oh.
Yeah. So the answer is the judge in the case, in the trial, is Judge Judge. His name is John Judge, Judge John Judge. And Judge Reinhold, his real name is actually Edward Reinhold. I almost threw in the clue that he won an Emmy in 1994 for being the close talker on Seinfeld. But
did he?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
He also...
I don't remember him in Stripes.
My name is Judge.
Stripes. And Seinfeld, too. He was a close talker, but didn't he also take out, was it Jerry's parents and entertain them too much?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep. All right, question number 2. You're scared of Boris? During 2021's Halloween episode, we learned that sheriffobia is the fear of being happy. And last year we learned that phobophobia is the fear of phobias or being afraid. This year's phobia question is a bit easier. What is the most common phobia?
So a couple really common ones, claustrophobia, fear of heights, fear of clowns. What do you think?
I think fear of death is always up there. But fear of heights, I think, is number one because it's the only one that's ingrained and they find as a, when they were doing those tests, that babies are naturally afraid of heights as well or whatever it is. So I think
you don't think claustrophobia would be more common?
I don't know if people get in tight enough spaces to know that they're claustrophobic.
Matt hasn't put a lot of children in boxes to test this theory.
So death or heights?
Heights. Let's go big.
Okay.
So we heard, Jeff and I, that the cure for a fear of heights is to listen to In the Heights by Lin-Manuel Miranda, but we also said Death in Heights.
See, and I thought it was listening to Such Great Heights by the Postal Service.
That's also a remedy, but we said, you know, Death in Heights are good, but Jeff...
Nothing is more terrifying than public speaking.
So we said public speaking is what we liked.
All right, so no points with this question. Although fear of heights is most certainly, that is my biggest fear. I took my kids to IKEA, unfortunately, a couple days ago, and we took the glass elevator up to the third floor, and even that I was freaking out. But the most common phobia is arachnophobia, or the fear of spiders.
Oh, not just the fear of the John Goodman movie.
No, that's a whole other fear. That's John Goodman phobia.
Okay. Peppa Pig's trying to dispel arachnophobia.
That's right.
All right, question number three. It works in a jiffy. So if arachnophobia is the most common fear, then arachibutyrophobia, and I can spell that for you, it's A-R-A-C-H-I-B-U-T-Y-R-O-phobia, arachibutyrophobia, must be one of the most rare. Arachibutyrophobia is an intense and irrational fear of eating what, which many believe actually stems from a fear of choking to death.
Spiders wearing makeup, right?
They have the spider TikTok doing the makeup.
See, and I thought it was spiders.
Spider makeup tutorials.
I thought it was spiders on fire.
And if you watch TikTok, you know, too, that everyone's always talking about something really serious when they're doing makeup. So it's like, spiders aren't that bad, guys. Let me put on this foundation. So when you talk about spiders, they're just trying to help you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I choked on a Hot Wheels tire.
Like probably not that. That's probably not the answer.
I chewed it off of a Hot Wheels car when I was a kid. Doubtful that's the answer.
What did Neil write?
So we're going to go with Neil's much more likely thing to choke on, although still very unlikely.
Okay. What do you think?
I think that they missed giant clues in the title, and they said in a jiffy, and I'm pretty sure that Jiffy Pop, it's popcorn. You could choke on popcorn. I'm pretty sure it's popcorn.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a great, really great answer. Yeah, so when I was a kid, I was choking on a penny, and my dad lifted me up by my ankles and shook me until it came out of my throat. So we said coins.
Your dad is a man of action.
He was a man of action.
I'm learning so much about you guys. I actually choked on a raw carrot at a picnic when I was a little kid, but that is not what arachibutyrophobia is. Good picking up on. It was cool that you picked up on something in the clue, but it went the wrong way. It works in a jiffy. It is peanut butter. Arachibutyrophobia is a fear of eating peanut butter. Yeah. People fear that if they have too much of it in their mouth, it'll stick to the roof of their mouth and they won't be able to open their mouth or swallow. All right. Question number four. How do you like them red, round, edible fruits? Bobbing for apples is a classic Halloween game, but its tradition dates back to the first century, just after the Roman invasion of Britain. Back then, it was more than just a game, though. According to the unofficial quote-unquote rules, the first person to successfully bite into an apple and hold it up would then be allowed to do what?
Live till the next morning.
Yeah, survive. Yeah.
sleep with the bed the mayor's wife. Well, Matt got the apple. He gets to bed the mayor's wife, I guess.
If I have to.
What are you thinking, Matt? First take of the spoils?
Yeah, maybe. That seems like it. I was going to say catapult the local dentist out of town to keep him as far away as possible. But I actually have no idea. So first cut of the loot or whatever.
Yeah, we'll say first take of the spoils.
We actually have a very similar answer. We figured maybe that, yeah, they get the first cut of the meat or whoever they hunted. So, yeah, we said the same thing.
All right. You guys are going back pretty far. So it's basically, it was the equivalent of like throwing the bouquet at a wedding. That person was the next to get married or would be allowed to get married.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think we should bring that back.
Bobbing actually,
instead of the bouquet.
Bobbing for apples actually has a long history. Like, it's changed over the years, but there's, you know, it was like allowed to get married. And then it was, they used it to predict the person that you would marry. People would write like John or whatever on an apple, and whoever you picked would be the person you'd marry.
That's a way better way to do it than Tinder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let the apples
decide. We're meeting in person.
I got Randall the horse boy.
My new app is called Bubbler.
I love that. Well, instead of writing someone's actual name, though, like you said, Ken, you actually write the horse's name, and then you're stuck with the horse, like Queen Anne or whatever queen it was.
I just imagine that it's like, Ken over there is pretty good at bobbing for apples. That means he's destined to be married.
I'd be practicing.
With skills like those, he can provide for the village.
What can I say?
All right, question number 5. Quote, it's the end of the world, end quote, the drunk. Veteran actress Veronica Cartwright is synonymous with both sci-fi and horror films. She battled chestbursters in Alien, has fought witches and demons in The Witches of Eastwick, and even taken on parasitic aliens in Invasion of the Body Snatchers. But before any of those films hit the silver screen, she played 11-year-old Kathy Brenner in what 1963 horror classic?
All right, 1963, that's pretty early. 11-year-old.
Yep.
So born in 52.
Girl. Maybe like The Omen?
Is this an early Children of the Corn? Was she one of the children?
Yeah, maybe. I haven't seen any of the corn.
I think The
children.
Omen is after 63.
The little corn babies.
Have you been to Iowa? I went to college there.
So you're a corn child yourself?
I was a young adult of the corn.
I like your answer.
Oh.
She would be a children at the time.
Yeah. She would be a children.
You want to say Children of the Corn?
Go with the corn children.
Yeah, Jeff and I had a very long discussion.
We did not. We were locked in immediately.
About the fact that Veronica Cartwright often received direction from a very rotund man who had proclivities for blonde women. We said The Birds.
Mm.
Yeah, points to Rosemary's Baby's Monitor. Yeah, she was in Hitchcock's The Birds. That was actually her third film, which is not to be confused with her second film, which was 1961's The Children's Hour, which starred Audrey Hepburn, Shirley MacLaine, and James Garner, which is a film that tells the horrifying tale of a rebellious student at an all-girls school who accuses two of her teachers of being lesbians. So,
Wow. 1961, you said?
Yeah, it's horrifying. Terrible, but... It was like it was a drama, apparently, because, you know, Earth.
The first Lifetime movie, yeah. I believe.
Yeah. Well, also terrible. Our scores.
Yeah, not great.
Pitching a shutout on us, Matt. Poltergeisers have 0 and 20 points, bookending that round nicely for whatever your team was called.
Rosemary's
Baby's Monitor.
We're going to come back from the dead, hopefully. We'll see.
All right, on to question number 6. I'm still waiting for the Human Centipede set. Lego is known for their licensed sets based on popular film franchise. Hold on, sorry.
That's good.
Lego is known for their licensed sets based on popular film franchises. But while horror film fans have been begging Lego to make sets based on scary movies for years, the company has only released a handful of Halloween-themed sets. I'm going to name 5 sets. 4 of them are real. 1 of them is fake. And all you got to do is tell me which one is the fake one. They are The Abandoned Village, The Pumpkin Farm, The Haunted House, The Forgotten Graveyard, and The Skeleton Dungeon.
All right. So while we lock in this answer, I have one question for you. Is it the best place to be in or the worst place to be in to be the last person in the Human Centipede because you have no one on you, but you're on someone? Is that good or bad?
I thought you want to be the front.
You want to be the first person.
The only good spot.
Yeah.
Well, there are no good spots.
Terrible spot, Matt. The only good spot.
Matt, for this one, I don't know at all. But I would imagine maybe Lego would stay away from a graveyard.
Yeah. I think it's similar to the other ones, and it would be kind of boring as a Lego set.
It's a little too real.
Yeah. Let's go graveyard.
Well, we hope you're right, because we thought, yeah, maybe it was too much religious iconography. We said graveyard.
Points to everybody. Forgotten Graveyard is the one that is not real, but should
Stiff be. That one out. Yeah.
Yeah. Good one.
Even right. They've forgotten about it.
All right. Question number 7. I'll catch the next flight. Most people know Buddy Holly. Richie Valens and the Big Bopper died in a plane crash on February 3rd, 1959. But which country musician was a part of the touring band at the time who gave up a seat to the Big Bopper? And a bonus question. Everybody knows that the day the music died. But what state did the music die in?
I refuse to remember the answers to this question. No matter how many times I hear the information, I refuse.
Do you remember, Neil?
I do. I remember the guy, because I know we never remember this. The state is what's confusing me. I think it was somewhere cold. Not that it's going to help them out, but I think it was somewhere really cold. I could be way off.
What do you think, Matt? Was it Waylon Jennings? Maybe?
So Waylon Jennings was my first thought, because you said it right now, and that was the first thought I had.
And for the bonus points for the state,
Tennessee.
Since you said it was somewhere cold, North Dakota.
North Dakota's pretty cold.
Yeah, I think it's Waylon Jennings, unless I'm completely misremembering the rock and roll tragedies. And then I had no idea. I could be way off that it was somewhere cold, but we said Idaho. I don't know.
All right, so both teams get points for Waylon Jennings. That was right. He gave up his seat to the Big Bopper because the Big Bopper had a flu and wanted to get to the doctor. Womp womp. And the state, Neil, you're going to be ashamed, man. It's Iowa.
Oh, man.
Yep. Crashed along the central
remember
border.
That.
Yep. All right.
That's like one of those questions I feel like you hear in several different ways, like, you know, who was on the plane or which one wasn't on the plane, and I can never seem to remember them. So
yeah.
Well, today we did.
Today we did.
They also always forget the pilot, unless Buddy Holly was flying the plane, I guess. I don't know. I have no idea.
That's true.
That's maybe. Them. That's why it crashed.
That's right.
Because he didn't have his glasses. He left them. That's what Rivers
he kept talking about Peggy Sue. He wasn't paying attention to the flight plan.
All right, question number 8. It's going south. Per capita, what African country has the highest suicide rate in the world? And here's a hint. It's also the southernmost landlocked country in the world.
Hmm.
Yeah, we're locked in.
Oh, right away, Jeff. Was that because of the landlocked? Or?
Yeah, landlocked.
No. Okay.
So do you remember the landlocked?
Do I remember?
Yes.
I know what landlocked is.
I think it's Lesotho is the landlocked one.
Is it? Eswatini is also landlocked. Because it's within another country.
Enough about Eswatini.
It's a Man southern answers that for everything. Country.
Former Swaziland.
I believe when it comes to landlocked countries, Jeff would say Lesotho.
All right. Lesotho.
And we are going with Malawi. No, I'm just kidding. It's Lesotho.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's... Great. Yeah, it's Lesotho. For context, in 2019, America had 14.5 suicides per 100,000 citizens. And that same year, Lesotho had 87.5 suicides per 100,000. So
they're not going to beat us in incarcerations.
Few places can. I don't think any place can, actually. All right, on to question number...
Nope, we're number one.
Yeah, USA. Oh, I'm going to get hell for this. Luckily, I'm not online. I don't care. Email who the fuck I
am. Triviality.
Care.
All of our episodes are like this, just so you know. Death and incarceration.
All right, on to question number 9. They're the peeps of Halloween candy. Love them or hate them, candy corn is a yellow, orange, and white striped candy that tastes like something. According to Brock's, who claims to be the producer of America's number one candy corn, what is the actual flavor of candy corn?
Ass.
So that's what Big Sean was singing about in his song.
I think you still got Human Centipede on the brain.
Yeah, I was going to say. By the time it gets to the fourth person, that's what it tastes like.
Oh, my God.
You know, and if you strain on the toilet, you have an extra little candy corn right. As well. Jeff.
Why, Neil? We were just keeping it clean with our Human Centipede joke.
All I said was straining in toilet. No one knows what that means.
What do you think?
Well, I usually eat the harvest mix version of these, which has a lot of chocolate involved, but I don't think this is chocolate. I think it's almost like a squash or like a something like that.
I was thinking like butter or...
Well, butter would be such a good flavor. Or
like maple, maybe?
Oh, maybe maple. It's got a maple to it.
Butter's
what about pancake?
Maple? I think that's too specific.
I do think it's too specific, but I wish
it was about saying pancake. We should say maple.
What about bacon pancakes?
So what do you think?
Maple sounds great.
All right.
I feel like it'd taste a lot better if it was maple, but Jeff, what you had a thought?
Yeah. We thought since it's a real vanilla candy, vanilla.
It might be vanilla.
Yeah, pretty cool. Okay, so a couple of the candy corn producers make... They say theirs is vanilla forward. Some do say butter forward, whatever. But Brock's, which is the number one manufacturer of candy corn, they use honey in their candy corn. So they say that their candy is honey flavor forward. They don't say that it's actually honey flavored. They just say it's honey flavor forward. So, yeah.
Mm. Well, we're a trivia podcast forward.
I think they can't say it's honey flavored because there's no honey or actual flavoring in there. That's natural. It's honey like substance.
That explains why I think it tastes of wax.
All right. Last question of round one, question number 10. In other words, a gun. At first, The Nightmare Before Christmas was considered a moderate hit when it came out in October of 93. 30 years later, it's now considered a timeless cult classic that has gone on to make well over $1 billion in re-releases and merchandising. Three of the movie's most memorable characters are Oogie Boogie's trio of trick-or-treaters, Locke, Shock, and Beryl. Your question is, who voiced these three now classic characters? And I'll give you a hint.
Locked in.
Oh.
We're locked in as well.
Oh, never mind then. Do you want to hear the hint just for fun?
Yeah.
All right.
Let the listeners at home hear it. We don't need it.
The hint is one of them previously fronted a new wave band. Another got their big break with a 1981 HBO special. And the last one may or may not be a former soap opera star who now finds herself the unwilling matriarch of a newly bankrupt family.
Do you know, Matt, any of them? Do you want to guess?
No, because I can't remember.
All right, so one of them is Paul Rubens.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is Catherine O'Hara. Is it Catherine or
Catherine?
Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one is Mr. Elfman himself.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman. Yeah. We said the same. Paul Rubens, Danny Elfman, Catherine O'Hara, and Paul Rubens, friend of Justin Shady as well.
Yeah.
Great person.
He was. He was a great guy. And yeah, that's sad. But yes. Yeah, you guys are right. Locke was voiced by Danny Elfman, Beryl by Paul Rubens, and Shock by Catherine O'Hara.
I just saw Paul Rubens in Buffy.
Yep, he's great in Buffy.
The original. Yeah. He's very good.
He does the original Peter Griffin when he hits his knee or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
You guys should.
And speaking of
I was just going to say you should check out Blow too with Johnny Depp, where he plays like a coke dealer. He's just amazing. It's so like out of character for him, but it's a really great character. You should check it out.
After the first round, the poltergeisers, geezers, I should say, have picked up a few extra
We're
points.
We're exploding with points here.
We are the poultry geysers.
The poultry geysers.
Chicken.
You picked up 40 points there. And we also picked up 40 points in the second half, but we're just 40 points. No, I shouldn't say 40 points ahead, but we're 20 points ahead.
Yes, indeed.
So we're 60 to 40 is what we call sort of the way that we divide the rations of who gets to slap the other person.
I would say, you know, the only thing spookier than Neil's bad math is the fact that Neil sucked at math
the week
before. he's never been good at it, so we shouldn't be surprised.
All right. Okay, so for the swing round of this game, we're going to do a real-life game of Clue. The way this is going to break down is I'm going to give you guys three lists of 10. The first list is going to be a person or a victim. Same thing. The second is going to be a location or where they died. And the third is going to be the item or the thing that killed them. So the list of 10 people are Jane Mansfield, Brandon Lee, Draco of Athens, who was an Athenian lawmaker, Cocaine Bear, a.k.a. Pablo Escobar, Owen Hart, Vic Morrow, Elvis Presley, Jimmy Heseldon, and that's Heselden, Steve Irwin, and Aeschylus, the Greek father of tragedy, and that's Aeschylus.
Ironically, sucked into an escalator.
The locations are a sports arena, a theater, the Great Barrier Reef, a sound stage, a car, a cliff, a wheat field, a movie ranch, a bathroom, and the Georgia wilderness. And the 10 items are a Segway, a helicopter, a tortoise, cocaine, a short tail stingray, a truck, hats and cloaks. That's one answer, hats and cloaks, heart, wrestling ring, and a gun with blanks.
Okay, we have our lists. We're going to think about these, match them up, and we'll be right back.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The Nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the Nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back with our matches. And the way we're going to do this is the numbers will be associated with the figure who died. And we will name the item and location as our answers.
All right, so number one, Jane Mansfield.
We said in the car with the truck.
We also said in the car with the truck with a secret scarf.
Correct. Points for both teams. Number two, Brandon Lee.
We said Brandon Lee on the soundstage with a gun with blanks.
We said the same.
Yep. Points for both teams again. Number three, Draco of Athens, the Athenian lawmaker.
Well, I don't know how, but we said in the wheat field with a tortoise.
And we thought maybe his audience hated him or something, so we said he died by hats and cloaks in a theater.
So Draco of Athens died by hats and cloaks in a theater, but it wasn't because of hatred. He showed up at a theater, and a way of showing your gratitude back then was to throw your hat or cloak at them as a gift, and so many people in the audience showered him with these gifts that he suffocated and died.
Oh, boy.
Oh my God.
Yes.
That's how I want to go.
That's the original hat trick.
Literally praised to death.
Number four, Cocaine Bear, a.k.a. Pablo Escobar.
We said in the Georgia wilderness by cocaine.
We said the same.
Correct. Points for both teams. Number five, Owen Hart.
Matt, this one is close to home for you, so you want to take it?
We said sports arena, wrestling ring, and they continued the show.
We agree. We said the same.
Yep. Points for both teams. It's yes, very much so. They continued on with the show and he fell from the rafters and hit his neck on the rope and died there during a pay-per-view. Very horrible. All right. Number six, Vic Morrow.
We thought this might have been one of the Twilight Zone movie fatalities, so we said movie ranch and helicopter.
Yep, we agree. We thought it was Twilight Zone. We said the same.
Yep, again, points for both teams. Number seven, Elvis Presley.
We said in the bathroom, and his heart just couldn't keep up.
We agree.
Yeah, points again. This one.
Sometimes you have to choose between your heart and the drugs.
Or that peanut butter banana sandwich.
Have you guys ever had? So there's a place in Milwaukee called Palomino that's great, and they have the Velvet Elvis, which is a fried peanut butter banana with bacon sandwich, and it is horrible for you, but it is delicious. It is delicious. All right,
That's what Priscilla Presley's parents said about Elvis.
Question number eight. This is a little bit tougher one, but I feel good about it because you guys have kind of like narrowed it down. Jimmy Haselden.
Matt, you want to take this one? You had a great idea.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the guy who invented the Segway died by the Segway, so we think he rode his original invention right off a cliff.
To live by the Segway, die by the Segway.
We thought the same. Jeff knew this one right away, so we said the exact same thing.
Yeah, so Jimmy Haselden, he actually wasn't the inventor of the Segway. He had bought the company. He was the CEO and the owner of the company for about 10 months before he was riding along the coast and came across a couple and swerved to get out of the way and drove right off a cliff. So yes, by Segway over a cliff. Number nine, wow. Steve Irwin.
We said Great Barrier Reef and the Stingray.
We agree.
All right. Points for both teams again. And last but not least, Aeschylus. This is my favorite one. The Greek father of tragedy.
Well, spoiler alert, we did not get this one. We mixed up our tortoises and our hats and cloaks and locations. So we said theater with hats and cloaks.
Ken, to answer your question, the way that you die by a tortoise is an eagle thinks your head is a rock and chucks it at you to try and crack it open.
That is exactly right. He died when an eagle dropped a tortoise on his head to crack it open to eat it in a wheat field.
Talk about unlucky.
He was the father of tragedy, no less.
Yeah. And
how did they report that? Yeah,
I don't know. There is a myth though that I don't know if it's a myth or they don't know if it's fact or fiction, but apparently he had a premonition that he was going to die indoors, or he was going to die by something falling on him, and he thought it would be something from inside. So he went outside and was in a wheat field, tried to stay in a wheat field until he had a tortoise dropped on his head and he died. So there you go.
Well, not quite tortoise dropping on our heads as far as the score is concerned, because both teams did really well. We have 40 points for the Poltergeisers, bringing their total to 80. And we have plus 50 points for Rosemary's Baby's Monitor, bringing our total to 110. So still anybody's game. But speaking of anybody's game, we couldn't do this game. We couldn't record this game or play this game without all of our patrons, including Justin. So if you'd like to join Justin and be a spooky supporter of the show, you can go to patreon.com/trivialitypodcast. There you can find such great things like two bonus episodes a month, plus all the new episodes ad-free coming out a little bit earlier. And if you're at the right tier, we will mail you butcher knives and machetes that you can use at your own will. Is that right, Ken?
No.
Okay.
Just for legal purposes.
Just for legal purposes. But we really appreciate all of our patrons. And, you know, if you're at a certain level as well, we will send a ghost to haunt your house. Isn't that right, Jeff?
Also for legal reasons, no. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, either way, just help us support the show. Matt loves when you support us, when you give us reviews on iTunes. If Matt's happy, we're happy. So,
and for legal reasons, that's true.
That is true. So please go to patreon.com/trivialitypodcast.
All right. Round two, question one. Half pig, half man. I feel like Matt's going to do okay with this one. In 2004, character actor Tobin Bell became synonymous with horror movies when he portrayed the antagonist in the first Saw. Though usually known as Jigsaw, what is Jigsaw's real name? And here's a hint. His first name is slang for the room in which the first Saw movie starts, and he shares a last name with a character on Seinfeld. Ironic considering how in 1993, more than a decade before Saw, Tobin Bell's most recognizable role had been on Seinfeld when he played Ron the record store owner, who refused to buy this character's copy of Don Ho Live at Honolulu.
All right, so it's probably not John Costanza, right?
No, it sounds, that's a little too long, maybe. I think John Kramer sounds better. Or John Cosmo? Kramer. Probably not John Cosmo.
John Kramer. Was Kramer the one selling the record?
I don't believe so. But I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's John Kramer.
All right.
Yeah, I remember him from his little cameo at the beginning of In the Line of Fire with Clint Eastwood, where he's trying to do some dirty business and got caught by Clint Eastwood. We said John Kramer.
Yeah, points to both teams. It is John Kramer, and he is Kramer and Newman are selling, trying to sell the records, but it's really Kramer who's pushing Newman as kind of like the person who's talking for the both of them. So yeah, John Kramer's right. All right, question number two. Hint, it's not Life by Cannibal Corpse. Your question is, your question is, in 1962, the BBC banned which song from airplay because they believed the track to be, quote, too morbid, unquote, for listeners. And as a bonus quote, as a bonus question, bonus point, you get an extra point if you can name the artist.
All right, Jeff. So they're locked in, begrudgingly by Matt. I don't think Sympathy for the Devil by Rolling Stones probably came out that early in the 60s, but that one I guess I could see getting banned. Or I'm also thinking of Helter Skelter by the Beatles, but I'm pretty sure that's late 60s.
When did the song Necrophilia, My Favorite Hobby, come out?
I don't know.
That's by the Carpenters.
By the John Carpenters?
What do you think, Jeff? I have no idea.
What would Matt know? These are the questions.
Matt knows a lot.
I'm aware. Monster Mash?
Yeah, you think they would...
It encourages youth to mash with monsters? I'd have no idea.
All right, we weren't sure. We're just going to lock in with Sympathy for the Devil by the Rolling Stones just because of the devil angle.
Sure.
Matt, what did you say?
I really thought that they were going to back into it because it wasn't their original hit. The Transylvania Twist is the Monster Mash by Bobby Pickett.
Wow, yes. That the Poltergeisers get it. Jeff, you had it, but you lost it. Yeah, it is the Monster Mash by Bobby Boris Pickett and the Crypt Kickers. Yeah, good job.
I wish they would reban the Monster Mash.
You can't just ban a graveyard smash, Ken.
Have you ever had a graveyard smash?
I haven't, but you know who has?
Not Legos.
I don't want to know the answer to this.
Are they
going
to be
arrested? I really don't want to know the answer to this question.
You don't want to know the answer? A graveyard smash? The cast of Jersey Shore.
Oh. All right, question number three. Put a monster on it. In 1997, the U.S. Postal Service released a series of five first-class stamps celebrating classic movie monsters that included The Phantom of the Opera, Dracula, Wolfman, Frankenstein's Monster, and the original Mummy. Two of these characters were individually portrayed by a father and son acting duo. Who were these actors? And for an extra point, which monsters did they each portray?
Okay, we can lock in over here.
Is it the Karloff?
My initial thought was Karloff, and I know that he played two of those monsters. I don't know, the older one did.
Isn't it Lon Chaney and his son Dick Cheney? No.
Different kind of monster.
I think one Chaney play.
One used makeup for being Two-Face, and the other one was natural.
Well, I don't want to throw you off.
One was an actor, and one shot a guy in a field.
I don't want to throw you off the Karloff, so let's just go with Karloff.
All right, you're locked in with Karloff?
Yeah.
You should have not locked in with Karloff.
Chaney?
Lon Chaney, Jr. and Sr. The Sr. played Phantom, and Jr. played Wolfman.
Yeah, you guys are... Rosemary's Baby's Monitor is exactly right. Yeah, it was Bela Lugosi as Dracula. Boris Karloff did appear as two different monsters, Frankenstein's Monster and the original Mummy. And then Lon Chaney Sr. appeared as the Phantom, and his son Lon Chaney Jr. appeared as the Wolfman.
Here's a little plug for Behind the Screens that just came out. The cinematographer from I Love Lucy, Carl Freund, he was the DP of Dracula and was the director of The Mummy.
Wow.
There you go.
You wrote a book?
Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Yeah.
All right, question number four. You can drive, you can vote, you can go to war, but you can't drink a blue moon. The last full moon to occur on Halloween happened on October 31st, 2020. Within 2 years, when will the next full moon occur on Halloween?
All right, you know, Neil, considering all the things I think I heard and a rough guess of what I know about the moon, which is admittedly not much, we're going to lock in.
So just based, without any math and no science, just based on his sort of clue in the category, would you say it would be 21 years from 2020? So 2041?
Yeah, something about the drinking age.
Oh, wait, he said you can drive, you can vote, but you can't drink a blue moon.
So it's probably 20 years.
So it's probably 18.
Probably 18 years.
Or 20.
From 2020, which would be 2038.
2030. All right.
Will we be alive? I don't know.
Neil will.
Because of the seed.
Giving us plus or minus two, we figured in that range. If we said it was going to happen 20 years out, that seemed reasonable. So we said 2040.
All right. So the answer is right in the middle, 2039. Full moons happen on specific dates in 19-year cycles, give or take. It's usually 18 to 19. So the previous full moon to happen on Halloween was in 2001, and there will only be six full moon Halloweens in the 21st century, and we're through two of them. So the third one will be in 2039.
So enjoy them when you can.
Yep. All right, question number five, which witch? Okay, I have three questions for you about the Salem witch trials of 1692. First, to the nearest 100, how many people were put on trial? Next, to the nearest 10, how many people were executed? And finally, to the nearest 1, how many people were actual witches? 5 points for each correct answer.
We're going to lock in with some guesses. One educated and one very much uneducated.
Because we went to Salem, right?
We did, we did.
And we checked out the graveyard.
Yes.
We saw some stuff.
Yep.
Matt was not there, he wouldn't know.
That's why I don't know. Otherwise, I would know.
All right. So the witches, the tried witches is to the closest 100. So I would say either 0 or 100.
You think it's under 100?
If it's under 50, it would be 0, right? Would be to the closest 100.
Okay. Well, it goes 0.
Is that how that works, Justin?
Are we going real low?
So we can go 0.
Mm-hmm.
For the number put to death, it would be either over... It's the closest 10, you said,
yes,
right?
So we're probably looking at...
So I would say it's either 10 or 0 or maybe 20.
Yeah.
What would you say?
Let's go 0, 10, 0.
That's what I think, because I don't think anybody was actually doing black magic.
All right. We agree with that logic. We don't think they tried a lot of people. So we said 0 of those people. We think they convicted pretty much all of them. And I think there was like 15 or so. So we said 10. And no one is a real witch. Just throw that out there. I'm really sticking my neck out on that one. But that's what we're going to say.
So about 204 people were put on trial. So the nearest 100 would be 200. 19 people were executed. You went the wrong way on the 15. So 20. And 0 people are actual witches. So... Right. You got five on
points.
The... Yeah, still got five.
Both teams got five?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so...
Five pity points for knowing that witches aren't real. How many Draculas were convicted? 0. 5 more points.
All right, well, it looks like the Poltergeisers are going to be picking up 36 points, bringing their total to 116. And the team of Rosemary's Baby's Monitor picking up 35 points, bringing their total to 145.
All right, question number 6. 9 in 10 Satanists agree. The late Anton LaVey is probably the most well-known Satanist and plagiarist, which we talked about last year, to have ever lived. The church he founded, the Church of Satan, is also most likely the largest group of Satanists in the U.S. So your question is, do a majority of Satanists even believe in Satan?
So we're saying no.
we're agreeing. We're saying no.
Yeah, so points to both teams. So most Satanists are basically just atheists, or they call themselves rationalists, who believe that Satan is nothing more than just a symbol that people use to blame for all the bad. So yeah, most Satanists just believe that Satan doesn't even exist.
Hmm. There you go. The more you know.
All right, question number 7. This was in the job description. So let's say you're a custodian working at either Disneyland in Anaheim or the Magic Kingdom in Orlando. Suddenly you get a call over your radio for a, quote, HEPA cleanup, unquote. What has just happened? And a bonus question, bonus point. More often than not, which attraction are you headed toward?
I thought HEPA was blood cleanup.
I figured HEPA would be any sort of bodily...
Like a bodily fluid?
...function. So maybe people throwing up on the teacups.
Oh, that's possible. That makes a lot of sense. That one makes you very dizzy.
We'll say people throwing up on the teacups.
Yeah, when we were kids, my family and I used to call it the Tilt-A-Hurl when we go to carnivals, so...
Yeah, we agree. We think a lot of people throwing up on the teacups.
Okay, so Ken is right with HEPA is any bodily anything. But what has just happened is that somebody has dumped the ashes of a dead person somewhere in the park. And according to a 2018 Wall Street Journal article, this most often happens in the Haunted Mansion.
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. It happens apparently about once a month, somewhere, not necessarily in the Haunted Mansion, but it happens with someone bringing ashes of a dead person, of a loved one, to dump it somewhere in the park.
About Mr. Toad's Wild, right?
Because I think HEPA filters are like air filters, right?
Right.
So you don't want the dust in the air.
Yep. All right. Question number 8. They suck. There are more than 1,400 unique species of bats in the world. Within one, how many of them drink blood?
I think this is the big Uno there, Matt. What do you think?
You think there's just one of them?
I think it's just a vampire bat.
That would make sense. We can lock in with that.
Okay, we're going to say one.
Yep. I like our margin of error somewhere between 0 and 2, so we said one.
So it is the vampire bat, but there are actually 3 different species of vampire bats. There's the hairy-legged vampire bat, the white-winged vampire bat, and then the common vampire bat. There actually used to be 5... but 2 of them have gone extinct in the last century.
How would you feel being the common vampire bat after the other two? Like, really cool names.
As opposed to the hairy leg? I'd rather be common than hairy leg. Better than being
the hairy legged, yeah.
The common vampire bat is the best rapper, though.
That's true. From Chicago.
I think this question just proves that Justin sucks.
All right, question number 9. Living their dash. Chicago has its fair share of dead celebrities buried around town. So I'm going to describe 3 famous people who claim Chicago as their final resting place. And teams will get 5 points for each one that they name correctly. I'll do the first one and then you guys can answer, and then we'll go to 2 and 3. Born Jacob Leon Rubinstein, he was drafted into the Air Force during World War II and served as an accomplished aircraft mechanic before being discharged in 1946. Upon returning to civilian life, he became the manager of numerous nightclubs, strip clubs, and dance halls. But he's probably most famous for being the guy who killed the guy who killed the guy in Dallas.
Okay.
As an illustrator, he rose to fame in the 1950s as one of Playboy's regular cartoonists. Sometimes using the pen name Uncle Shelby, he would go on to write adult satire, poetry, and plays, and even co-wrote a screenplay with David Mamet. He was nominated for Golden Globes and Academy Awards and won 2 Grammys, but he's probably best remembered as the author of numerous children's books and of a Johnny Cash song about a boy with an unfortunate name. Number 3. Born in London during World War II, his family fled to New York to escape the growing threat of the Holocaust. After graduating from Northwestern School of Law, he became involved in politics and served as campaign advisor to Robert F. Kennedy in 1968. After serving as Cincinnati's mayor, he became a political reporter for a local news station, winning 10 Emmys along the way. but he'll probably be best remembered as a host of an eponymous talk show that ran for 27 seasons and had audience members chanting his name over and over and over again.
Okay, I think both teams are all locked in with the answers on these. So, Matt, are you comfortable with Jack Ruby, Shel Silverstein, and Jerry
Steve Wilkos? Oh, you're right. Sorry. Wrong guy.
Yeah. We agree. We said Jack Ruby was the guy who shot the guy who shot the guy. We said Shel Silverstein and Jerry Springer for the other two.
Yep. Points for both teams. That's great. Good job. All right. Last question of round two. This is not a trick. It is my treat to everyone. For 10 points, five each person, all you got to do is tell me what was your most memorable Halloween costume from childhood.
You guys got to discuss it, or what do we do? It's all day.
just go. Just go.
Mine, it was either my mask, Jim Carrey mask costume, my aunt tailored. Yes. It was a yellow suit she made from scratch.
Somebody stop him.
Which is really cool. It's either that or it was
still can't.
Noah Wiley, or not Noah Wiley, Dr. Green from ER, which people made fun of me for. But no, yeah, it was
Neil
the mask.
Was playing Noah Wiley playing Dr. Green on ER. It was a real meta Halloween costume.
Jeff, what do you got?
I'm going to say the Blue Power Ranger, because that was mine for sure.
Matt?
One of the seven times I was a Ninja Turtle. Way too many
there
times.
There you go. And I'm going to say this nice Grim Reaper getup that I had that had a like a blackout mask. It was pretty cool. So there
That's
we go.
Great.
3 points all around.
3 points all around. Mine was in fifth grade. I'm older than all of you guys by a fair amount. But in fifth grade, I went as Ed Grimley or Martin Short as Ed Grimley, which is an SCTV character. And when I got to class, my teacher, Miss Bell, I'll never forget. She's like, we're going to go around and talk about what we are. Justin, you're going first. So then I had to explain it to all the kids what this character that they've never seen was. And in hindsight, it's funny thinking that my parents made me or let me watch SCTV. So, and actually years later, I got to interview Martin Short for Variety when he was nominated for an Emmy. And I told him that story and he's like, your parents f***ed up, huh? And I was like, yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, if you like us answering these random questions, I think that, maybe you should listen to the Crop Drop over on Patreon. We got a few of those, right?
That's right.
True.
That's true. We have one every month for the last few years. So I forget what that is in math, but 12 times 3 or 4? Figure it out.
36 to 48.
Thanks, Jeff.
When does a full moon fall on that?
Every 28?
Nope.
18 to 19 years.
Thank you. 18 to 19 years. No. Well, I'll tell you what's not f***ed up. The scores. So our scores right now.
Doubt it. Let's hear them.
We have the Poltergeisers picking up 35 points, bringing their total to 151 for the final round, and 35 points for Rosemary's Baby's Monitor, bringing us to 180.
By George, he got them.
Okay. So for the final round, we're going to talk about Halloween laws, and the categories are Halloween is canceled, good because Jesus hated handouts, or as Crazy Joe DiVola for that matter, and also... And definitely don't go as that coach from Ted Lasso.
Okay, the wagers are now locked in. Let's go ahead and get the questions.
All right, question number one. In 2013, we're going back to Central Africa. Apparently, I didn't just put that together. In 2013, which Central African country banned Halloween because it was apparently, quote, causing people to stray from the country's traditional culture? It's an interesting take considering this country has a fairly recent history of civil war, genocide, and ethnic cleansing. Question number two. Good, because Jesus hated handouts. It's Sunday, October 31st, 2021. You live in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and you just got back home with your kids who have taken in a sweet haul of Skittles and Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Suddenly, your doorbell rings, followed by a cop handing you a ticket for $150 for breaking the law. In Rehoboth Beach, what law did you just break? Question number three, or as Crazy Joe DiVola for that matter. In the coastal town of Vendarque in the south of France, A law prohibits anyone over the age of 12 from dressing up as what for Halloween? Question number four, and also, as someone who has spent a few drunken Halloweens in Hollywood, trust me when I say that October 31st is a night of intense debauchery in Tinseltown. So intense, in fact, that in 2004, Hollywood began to prohibit the use of what? And here's a hint. The invention of this item was accidental and originally intended to be a spray-on instant cast. And finally, question number five. Definitely don't go as coach from Ted Lasso, as the coach from Ted Lasso. Question is, you have alopecia and live in Alabama. For Halloween, you've dressed up as either Coach Beard from Ted Lasso or Abraham Lincoln or whoever. On your way to a party, you get lost and stop into a church to get directions. As you enter, you get some laughs from congregants and are promptly arrested by an off-duty cop who is in attendance. What party of your costume is illegal?
All right, we have our questions, curious as they may be, but we'll be back with our answers.
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
And we are back after a horrifying time trying to come up with these answers. Let's have the questions one more time and see who will be today's scream of the crop.
All right, question number one, Halloween is canceled forever. In 2013, which Central African country banned Halloween because it was apparently causing people to stray from the country's traditional culture?
We went Rwanda.
We also said Rwanda.
Yep, points for both teams, Rwanda. Question number two, good, because Jesus hated handouts. It's Sunday, October 31st, 2021. You live in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and just got back home with your kids who have taken in a sweet haul of candy. Your doorbell rings and a cop hands you a ticket for $150 for breaking the law. Which law did you just break?
We said soliciting on a Sunday.
Yeah, we think they shouldn't have been trick-or-treating on a Sunday.
Yep. In Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, you cannot trick-or-treat on a Sunday. Even if Halloween falls on it, you have to do it the Saturday before.
Fun.
Question number three. Yeah, it's a blast. You know, in Chicago, this is an aside, but like in Chicago, I love that, you know, they actually trick-or-treat on Halloween in Milwaukee. I grew up in Milwaukee, and up there, it's always the Saturday closest to Halloween.
Yeah.
It's not even, yeah, it's very weird. All right, question number three, or as Crazy Joe Davola, for that matter, in the coastal town of Vendarc in the south of France, which a law prohibits anyone over the age of 12 from dressing up as what?
I've kiboshed the other team, and I will kibosh again. And we said clown.
Yeah, we knew Crazy Joe Davola was from Seinfeld, and we remember him being a creepy clown, so we said clown.
Yeah, points to both teams because... the reasoning is really interesting. There in previous years before they banned clowns for anyone over 12, there had been numerous incidents of adults dressing up as clowns and attacking people. So they banned clowns. They banned clowns for anybody that's not a kid. That's
a reasonable response. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, question number four, as someone who's spent a few drunken Halloweens in Hollywood, it's always an intense night of debauchery. In 2004, Hollywood started to prohibit the use of what? And this item was also an accidental invention. It was originally created to be a spray-on instant cast.
We said silly string.
This feels like debauchery light, but we agree. We said silly string.
Yeah, again, good good job. Points for both teams. They actually started to... this is also funny. They started to... prohibit the selling and distribution or possession even of silly string on Halloween in Hollywood, because the next day they would hose the streets down and it would mix with the silly string and it was causing accidents on the road. So all the silly string was causing cars to
It is kind of soapy, isn't it?
Yeah. So if you get caught with a can of silly string in Hollywood on Halloween, you're being fined $1,000. Yeah, the death penalty. Whoa. That's it. Yeah,
I'd rather have the death penalty than be fined $1,000.
Mom, Dad.
I would never financially recover from that.
Can you come bail me out? What'd you do?
Silly string.
I got caught with possession. Silly string.
All right, final question. Question number five. Don't go as coach from that coach from Ted Lasso. You have alopecia in Alabama, and for Halloween, you decide to dress up as Coach Beard or Abraham Lincoln or pretty much anybody. On your way to the party, you get lost, stop in a church to ask for directions, but as you enter, you get laughs and are promptly arrested by an off-duty cop who's in attendance. What part of your costume is illegal?
I would say it's got to be the fake facial hair.
Yeah, we agree. We think it's fake facial hair.
Yep. So in Alabama, you are not allowed to wear fake facial hair specifically in a church because the law
Jesus
says
don't like
that
liars.
It might cause people to laugh in church, which is not allowed. So yes, facial hair.
You know what else causes people to laugh in church? You ever
more
seen that TikTok
just
video
hair.
The trombone player? Silence. What an amazing crowd. That would not have been me.
The scores are in. Both teams scoring perfect on the final round, getting 150 points each, but unfortunately one team just couldn't surpass the other. The Poltergeisers are going to end with 301 points, breaking that 300 score barrier, which is a great score. And Rosemary's Baby's Monitor will end the game with 330 points.
Way to go. You're today's Scream of the Crop.
The Scream was at the top. Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Scream of the Crop.
That's right. And we want to, as always, thank Justin for providing these spooky questions for us.
Yeah, thanks for having me 3 years in a row. I was saying how it's getting a little hard to find stuff that is, that I haven't used before or I haven't touched on before. But it's always a good challenge, and I love doing it. And, so thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for being here. Just remember, if we keep having you at it, we keep doing it in 2 or 3 years, you can just recycle the first quiz because we'll have long since forgotten it. So.
That's right. Yep.
It's easier from here.
Anyone you want to give a shout out to before I let you go, Justin?
Yeah. My wife for buying these hideous curtains that I use now for a backdrop. And I'll say hi to my kids, I guess. That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. And we want to say a quick thank you to Airwave Media. You can find their website at airwavemedia.com, where you can check out other great shows such as Southern Gothic, The Underworld, and Unspookable.
Ooh, I love your choices for today's episode, Ken.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you very much again to Justin for hosting a Halloween episode, Trick or Triviality 7. We'll see if this franchise continues to live or if it will die a horrible, horrible death. We'll see you on the other side. And thank you to Matt and Ken and Jeff. My name is Neil, and I was going to make a C. Neil joke, but I don't even know what to say. So happy Halloween, everyone.